as TJ says, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Everybody, here we go. Cause he's hungry, and the only way to feed him is to live with a baby, a little bit of money.
That's my I'm hungry jingle tonight. That's
your hungry jingle?
Yeah. I'm glad we delayed this a few days because I was very angry. I couldn't even listen to NASCAR radio yesterday.
You needed time to just like take it in and process the results and understand it conceptually that your guy just didn't get it done.
And I also was trying to figure out how a brake rotor just randomly ends up on the track. That's a good one too. So
exploded. I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
I witnessed that at Daytona. Formula Atlantic race. Thermal shock to brake rotors. That track's fairly brake heavy. Sometimes they explode.
Listen, if you're a lap down, a championship race, if you're a lap down, like with 25 to go, you just stop racing. They just park you. That's it. It's over. You know? Truex would have had that race. He had it won.
We'll get into that. I think there's a lot to be discussed about what Martin Truex could have done, but didn't do.
Nothing he could have done. That's it.
But anyway, welcome, race fans, to the final episode of the 2021 NASCAR season. We've made it all the way to the end. I think we are all fairly tired for our own reasons at this point in time. It's been a long season. It was a great final weekend with a ton of racing, practice, qualifying, all the jazz. They hyped it all up. We got some good results in each race. And there's quite a bit of stuff coming out already about next year. And there's been a little bit of reporting so far on some rumors. One of which is the automobile manufacturer known as Dodge.
Yeah, baby. I heard that too.
And that they are probably one of the closest, couldn't be confirmed or denied, as a potential manufacturer, in this case, re-entering the realm of NASCAR. So that's some interesting news.
I like that. Will they be going by their street name or their physical name?
What's that?
Will they be going by their street name or their actual corporate name?
It says Dodge. It says Dodge.
Their street name. Because Stellantis, I guess, or if you're in Michigan, Stellantis doesn't sound good on a race car.
I don't even like FCA, but I like it's should be part of the NASCAR experience.
The thing is, they should just let Dodge put a challenger in there and just drop a Hellcat in and see where she lies, you know? See what happens. That would sell a million more instantly. You know what I mean? Just like that. Like if a car like that, you just drop it in NASCAR, right? Give it its own unique front end in a next gen car, just lay a Hellcat down into it and see what happens.
A lot of these manufacturers, except for Toyota, have a V8 supercharged engine in production.
True. Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, the Hellcat motor is pretty close in stock trim to the 750 horsepower package we're running on some of these tracks. So, you know.
Have to choke her out a little bit for the mile and a half ovals, you know?
What would Toyota do? They probably get some crazy Lexus. They get Lexus V8s, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they got quite a few. I mean, heck, the venerable, what was it? The 1UZ was the 4.4 or 4.6 liter dual overhead cam V8. They put in the old
I'm gonna own one of those. The LS 400. I'm gonna own one of those someday. Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm gonna get me one of those. Like 1994 Lexus LS 400 with 785,000 miles.
Yep. The engine's never been touched.
Yeah, and we're fucking driving it to Phoenix.
There you go.
That's what we're doing. There you go. Comfy as hell. There's like 6 feet of room between the front seat and the back seat.
That's at least.
That's all you, Matt. That's all you,
Matt. Those cars were well ahead of their time, and no one really even realized it.
It is the epitome of Japanese executive.
Yeah.
Like, VIP. Like, it is. That's exactly what it is. Like,
they look good, too, because they're old. They're kind of modeled after the Mercedes E-Class, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
They got a lot of flat lines. They look good. I like those.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about their reliability over time, and there's a couple million mile examples that have been well documented on the internet about those.
I was going to say, I don't even remember the name of the place, but the thing had been through at least one or two transmissions, and like nothing in the interior worked, but the valve covers had never been off that motor. Like, it's unbelievable. So
cool. Yep. The other news is. Our weatherman, Drew Messina's boy, Fast Pasta, is not returning to Front Row Motorsports in the 38 machine.
When you get thrown off of Front Row Motorsports,
he wasn't cooking real good, you know.
Didn't he wad something up?
Didn't salt the water.
Wasn't he involved in an altercation this past weekend, or am I? I thought he wadded somebody up. I want to say he turned Bubba, but maybe I'm. That was Corey LaJoy. Never mind.
That was Corey LaJoy.
We'll get it. Yeah. 38, number 38 was in an incident in turn two. Yeah, it doesn't list any other cars.
So it wasn't first two Corey LaJoy wrecks that happened immediately.
Oh yeah. So let's get right back. Let's start with the Cup race, right? Because that's what we all care about. That's what probably the people on the internet care about.
That's what people are here for.
Cup race starts off pretty hot, you know. We got a couple issues with inspection.
Oh. Yeah. We're trying to find that extra speed, huh?
Yep. Who was it that got so two cars had their crew chiefs ejected.
Was it Denny and Chase,
I thought.
Yeah. Denny and Chase. I think the other guys passed on the first try, as far as I remember. Larson qualified on the pole, and as he so intimately put it, as the fans would describe, he earned it this time by actually qualifying.
Yeah.
I sensed a little bit of sass in his voice on that one when he said it. I think he was a little annoyed, but
because he was given every other pole, so you know he might as well earn one here or there. Yeah, so.
Based on the rules, though, you know, it's not like he's on the rules.
Yeah.
But race starts out real hot, like you guys were saying. Freaking Corey LaJoy spun out Bubba.
Yeah, he turned that car into a AMC Pacer.
Yeah. But Corey blamed the Recky Stenhouse.
It's easy to do. I get it, right? And then I like the Bubba slow clap though. That was wonderful. So.
Oh my gosh! Yes, that was. I think we were on the phone. You guys called and Bubba walks up the traps and gives me old clap, the old Kurt Busch clap.
I was really hoping he was going to pull a Tony Stewart and throw his helmet at him.
I love it.
You got to get that airtime, you know? Got to get that airtime for the sponsors. If you're going to get knocked out early, you got to get on TV, you know?
You got to be a meme. You got to meme yourself immediately. So.
Yeah, I mean, that couldn't have been more than 20 laps in.
Corey LaJoy, though. Like, get it together.
Yeah. And then not too long after, if it really was Stenhouse who got LaJoy loose, who got into Bubba, Corey definitely got into Stenhouse in the wall soon after that.
It's like a Chase Elliott Harvick feud, except no one cares.
Yeah, the Jennifer Jo Cobb hitting the pace truck stuff, you know. So
yep. It was the number 7 in 47 an incident in turn three, and that was lap. That was lap 16 through 20. The original incident was lap 8 to 11.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, Bubba Wallace might not always have the hottest ride every week, but he manages to keep his nose clean more often than a lot of our other usual suspects.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Give him props there.
There's more to talk about here, but at the end of the day, Larson ultimately gets his win. That's his 16th Cup career victory, and obviously earned him the championship, being in the championship four. 107 laps led.
Yep. Jeez.
Yep. He kept his setup came into it. I think I was thinking that Truex had a hot thing going early on, and I think Martin's setup was better out of the gate than the Hendrick cars, especially for the longer runs. But I think toward the end of the race, that speed advantage started to go away.
Yeah.
And somebody give that five crew a pat on the back, because they whooped all three of those other teams up and down the pit lane by at least a second and a half on that last pit stop. Every single one of them.
So caution comes out lap 283. And is this the brake rotor you were so affectionately discussing earlier?
Yeah. Yep. The lap car loses a freaking brake rotor because, you know, driving the hell out of that thing, right? I just have no patience for this crap. And, like, okay, so everybody had a chance to get on pit road and get off pit road, right? So Larson's team got him out, right? This is the second championship that the pit crew has lost Truex. So, the second one. First one, when they put the tires on the wrong side, right? This time, sleeping. So, I don't know. I am
quite surprised that every single lug nut on Larson's car was tight, because the left rear tire changer was still doing his job as the car began to move out of the box, which is just impressive. It is very impressive if, in fact, they were all tight. They inspected it, and apparently it was all good.
We don't know.
I mean, if they had one loose, I mean, I don't know what do they do about it? But yeah, that
well, he gets fined. They get the crew chief gets a monetary fine if it's one, but I think it was early in the race while we were on the phone, and I think it was Matt, it was you who made the comment. I think it was Chase Elliott's car when they were banging lug nuts on the left front of that thing. You're like, there is fucking no way that they put all five on that car at that moment.
That was a three lug nut max pit stop. So,
and I think the comment we made at that point was like, well, it don't matter right now. It just matters at the end.
Yeah. I like I guess I use the term the romance of the five lug wheels, you know, and the tradition. But it's a pain in the ass. Every week we're talking about loose lug nut penalties, and it's just, in application, it just doesn't work as well.
But it creates more variation in the whole, like, the whole package.
That's true.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, seven or eight weeks ago in the old format, you know, years ago before we had the playoff and chase situation, Larson or Hamlin would have been the winner at that point in time. So the last eight races just mean absolutely jack shit. And you don't get the situation we had on the last pit stop with whatever it was, 20 some laps to go, where the cars are so evenly matched that the team that gets their car over the line first ultimately is going to win the race.
Right.
Like that, you don't get that situation.
No, it's another variable, right? And it'll be filled with something in the future, right? Who knows what it is, but for now, you know, that's it, man. That's the last five lug stop we're going to see in NASCAR.
Yeah. Yeah, RIP.
Well, RIP, I guess the trucks and Xfinity will still be running five.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll get it there, but these pit stops are going to be under sub 10 seconds now, guys. So.
Oh, they got to be. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
It's going to be, they're going to be waiting on fuel.
I mean, you give a guy an impact gun, he'll screw it up. You know what I mean, though? So.
Yeah.
Well, if F1 manages to lock one of those center lugs on so bad that they have to DQ from the race, right? They have to quit the race. They DNF the race. They have to bring it back to the factory to cut it off. Like, could you imagine what these boys are going to do?
Oh, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Yeah. So with the current wheels, they're gluing the lug nuts on the wheel. With the new arrangement, it's going to be a magnetic socket. And the center nut's going to stay with the socket. Wheel comes off and then go on. So, guys are going to freaking someone's going to knock that center lug out of that socket. It's going to go bouncing across pit road. He's going to have to go chasing for it so he can put the freaking wheel on the car.
Or they'll just send it. Or they'll just send it.
Yeah.
It's solve itself.
Yeah. What's the penalty for a loose center lug?
Your wheel falls off on the racetrack and you don't finish. So
self-policing.
It's great. Self-policing. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. But, and I think there'll be a less chance for that. You know, we saw, Allmendinger didn't have a good championship race, and he didn't have it all night. And then he had a really loose right rear wheel that spun the car around. And the current cars, the lugs are load bearing, in a big way. And with the center lock stuff, it's a splined axle. The load's not carried by the tightness of the lug nuts. So that's gonna probably prevent some of the looseness from happening. So
before you mentioned Dinger, but before we switch gears and go to the Xfinity race, though, I was pretty impressed. They did make that. I'm talking the 19 team here in Truex and Small. They made an adjustment in that last pit stop that they thought would help them on the restart. Mm-hmm. They bumped up the rear tire pressure, is what they said on TV, in that car compared to what they were to help with the restart. And they were saying all night long that that car was really starting to come on like 20 to 23 laps into a run. But it was just getting real fast. And like that time period at the end, it was like 27 laps, I think what it was is something. Yep. Once we got out of that and he did come on, three, four laps to go. I mean, 100% he was overdriving it to do something, right? That's the moment where you can do anything and it doesn't matter because you're trying to win a championship. But in my opinion, looking back, I think Truex had the best car, the best setup all night long, consistently. He didn't lead the most laps. He wasn't even second in laps led. But I think he had the most consistent car all night long. And,
It's one of these things, right?
That one hurts.
You shoot for long run, right? Long run. Well, when you're right, that's how he won his championship in 17, right? He always had long run cars, always, and he was on point, right?
With a lot of times when he wins, like, he just dominates in general.
You do it with long run cars, right? You don't do that with a short run car. So it got to the point, 25 is a tough number because you're going to build up pressure, right? Because if you're restarting with two to go, you put as much pressure as you can, whatever you took off that tire at, that's what you're putting in the next one, right? Gives a shit, right? Get the pressure in and get it to hook. But in this case, what do you do, right? You maybe give him a little more, have him come out a little bit faster, but it's still a decent, it's the balance too. It's a lot of things. It's not just, tire pressure, right? So you can play with it. But yeah, it is what it is, guys. Gentlemen, pit stops, should be his third championship, but, effing break room.
How long till his boy comes back now?
Who, Smalls?
Oh, no, what's the other guy's name? The old crew chief.
Cole Pern.
Yeah, how long till he's back? Because his name's been all over the place the last like 3 weeks.
Well, listen, so I'm pretty sure that James Small and Cole Pern are the same person. I'm with an accent. I really do. I don't think it's two different.
See, I feel like Cole Pern is destined for a larger role at JGR. Like I feel like the Jeff Gordon of you know what I mean? Like Jeff Gordon and has kind of taken over Hendrick Motorsports, it seems like, at this point.
If Danny doesn't snatch him up first, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to look at that team right now and think, like, who's the golden boy? It really is in the JGR stable.
Dude,
because there's a series, honestly, like, if you look at it in an unbiased way, I feel like there's a series of disappointment across all four drivers. You know,
one's a constant disappointment, and that's Kyle Busch as a person. He's a personal disappointment.
He's won multiple championships, though, so I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Yes, I agree.
For a brand? He's like the worst thing for a brand of all time. So I whatever, but.
Well, he's got sensitivity training now, so we'll see if that changes anything. Did you ever see his comments on that? They asked him about it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's going to be great.
My publicist told me I had to say this is going to be a good thing for me.
He's been through it probably 14 times already, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If it didn't work the first time, it ain't sure as hell going to work.
Back to your question though, I think they have the best team. I do. Hendrick, yeah, they're young, right? They're gonna win a lot, but yeah. I don't know what to think. I think it's definitely those two teams, and I think with Penske's kind of retooling with the two car, which would be great, right? That's the big question around JGR is what now, right? There's only so many Toyota rides, right? You got a bunch of old guys in there now, except for Bell.
Yeah, so. it's probably 2 to 4 years away from turning over in all three scenarios in my situation. And I don't think Martin's probably done whenever he decides. Like, he's probably not going to race anymore. Denny. No doubt in my mind that he'll race with his own team before he hangs it up. Yep. And Kyle, I think he'll just get so fed up. Like, I don't, you know, with just the shit that comes with
it. He's going to get the most cheers on his retirement tour of all time, you know.
Yeah. And he can go play with his own money at KBM and, you know what I mean, like, if he needs to get his fix. And he's got a kid who's coming up and doing stuff, and yeah, enough to keep him busy in the racing world. But he's a competitive guy, so he's gonna be doing it himself at some level. So
it's gonna be this new car is garbage, I think we're gonna see a lot of early retirements. So
yeah,
that's a good point.
Poor Ryan Newman. Newman's done. So Newman's last race too. So
yeah, but he says he doesn't want to be though.
It's sad, it's
like,
man.
But I don't have anything on paper, so that means you've been politely let go.
just don't Brett Favre it, you know. He's gonna Brett Favre it, you know, hang around for too long.
Yeah, but hopefully he doesn't find himself in hot water in the front office of some team, and you know, inappropriately touching
and having employees.
That would just
quality
be good, you know. Quality seems to be a common theme in the professional sports world for some reason.
It's been crazy recently. Looking at other sports too, man. It's been a crapshoot. So
yeah, look at the Las Vegas Raiders. Do you see that? You got one guy who drives 150 some miles an hour while intoxicated and kills somebody. And then the other guy, what did he do?
Gun charges. And threatening to kill someone. So.
Yeah, all in 7 days, and that was two members of their 2020 draft class. So I'd say they freaking hit the nail on the head last year.
Yeah, they're doing good.
All the individuals.
If you didn't think any, if you didn't know any better, you think it was the Dallas Cow, the early '90s Dallas or Dallas Cowboys, you know?
Yeah.
All the criminals.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is a lawless place, but you know, there are rules still.
Yeah, there are some rules.
What was he driving 150 mile an hour to walk away from the crash?
C8. Yeah, C8.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it was a Challenger or a Charger, it'd be in pieces. That's Solanthe's product.
You know, as TJ says, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
That's it. Can't say it any better than that.
Nope.
Yeah, it was good, man. Xfinity race was good, too. Truck race was even better. It was overall
we got to talk about Xfinity race as we switch gears here, though. So, Daniel Hemric, his first career win.
Yeah. Amazing.
Finally, he seems to be everybody's best friend in the NASCAR community for some reason. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but and we probably don't understand it because we're not in the super best friends leagues, but he gets his first career win, which happens to be for a championship, which you know, on paper, that's a testament to consistency for sure throughout a season.
Right.
It also means that Kyle Busch has raced too much in that series. That's all that
means. Right. So if the 54 car wins, you know, the same amount of races as Kyle Larson wins in the Cup race, you know, as a non-eligible car, you know, that eliminates 10 of the opportunities for other drivers.
Yeah,
that's all that is, man. It's sad. It really is.
Yeah, if you think about it like that, it is kind of a little messed up. You know, it gives an advantage to some of the bigger teams that, you know, they don't have to win as much to be there, right?
Yep. So. But hey, man, good for him. That's awesome. Let's get that.
It's a hell of a drive.
It was a great drive. It was a great drive. Yeah, Cindric totally screwed it up.
Fritz got a great theory on it.
Yeah, he. You know. Coming through turn three, Hemric goes low to try and get around him, and Cindric is around the top all night, and he should have stayed there. If he'd have stayed there, he'd have gotten the run off the top at a turn four that he always got and probably would have finished 5 feet the other way, you know, ahead. But he tried to come low to force Hemric to stay low to hurt his run off the corner, and they got together, and of course, you know, Cindric got squarely had to lift, and it was all over. So
yeah, Hemric just gave him the bumper in that situation.
Yeah, gave him a little tap. Yeah, if he'd just stayed high and ran his line, I probably wouldn't have been able to get around him. But he felt the need to try and pinch him off, and it bit him in the ass.
I got a terminology for what happened. We call that a classy tap. That was a classy tap.
You know? It was a classy tap, and I'm a Cindric guy, and he
he
his.
Didn't drive. Cindric should have. You know.
Yep. Yep.
Now that the season's over, so I mean, it's big congrats to Hemric on that. Not a huge fan of his, just because of the lack of wins, I think, and the lack of personality. aside from the Homestead situation.
Hemric and Gregson interaction.
Well, that's a different. I'm more of a Gregson fan in that situation because he was willing to fight back. Just whatever. But Cindric, though, I have to say, now that the season has come to an end, I'm kind of disappointed in the back half of his season coming off a championship win last year.
Yeah.
In this situation, I expected him to dominate more in the back half of the year. Mm-hmm. Because he did in the beginning of the year. I thought he looked really good, and he was up there in every single race. And then the back half of the year, he had some car problems. He got caught up in some incidents, wrecked out of a couple races in a row. He was highly competitive at Bristol when we were there, obviously. And then, you know, just didn't quite work out.
Another poor decision at the tail end of a race. I mean, that one he wasn't in a position to win it, but there's definitely some some changes that he can make as from a decision making standpoint when the in the crunch. To,
well, that's.
Do you think it's related to him getting his? Do you think it's related to him getting a two car?
Well, for me, like if I'm a team owner in that situation, in my mind, you need to continue to prove yourself, because if you can continue to improve yourself or prove yourself, the sponsorship opportunities will continue to come. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you take care of your business on the track, it's limitless on the other end. That stuff will come no matter what, even if you have no personality like he does. So, like, I'm disappointed that he didn't show more consistency. And in my mind, the expectation was he would at minimum win another championship. And I think his consistency at the end, coupled with Allmendinger's takeover, you know, hurt him. Even though Allmendinger didn't bring it home, Allmendinger took away a lot of Cindric's mojo in the back half of the season.
For sure.
I'm sure that was frustrating.
Disappointed in Gragson, though, man. That was a crap showing on his part. So,
yeah.
He was so nervous at the start of that race. He looked like he was going to throw up walking around the grid.
Gragson and Dinger did not have a good final race of the season. And Dinger was hot. Heck, I saw him and Dinger win two races in person this year. The only two races I went to, Bristol and Mid Ohio, he won. So
Wait, no, you went to three races, Brent.
Oh.
He won at Michigan.
Did he? We weren't there for the Xfinity race.
You weren't there for the Xfinity race. Ah, okay, that's right. You went for a couple races.
You saw more NASCAR racing than we did this year. That's awesome.
That's amazing. How does this happen? But yeah, Dinger had a hell of a season. Things just went pretty south for him. The car was terrible all night. Like he was chasing it up the track half the time, and then the wheel damn near fell off and put him around. So it wasn't. But yeah, Gragson threw a Hail Mary there. Tried the Kyle Larson move unintentionally.
Center
into the wall.
You got to do what you got to do, and that a little disappointing on the Junior Motorsports side that things just weren't a little more in order for that team at the end, which is. Interesting.
Michael Annette retiring too. That was big news out of Xfinity.
It is, yeah. So he's finally done. I didn't realize this, but his nickname is Diesel.
Didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't. I'm not quite sure where that comes from, but
yeah, he got an injury that holding him back, and I think he's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But that's another car now. Who's going into junior car now? So we'll see.
They did say that they're fielding five drivers, didn't they?
I think he was going to bring Barry on full time, but maybe he'll only go four now.
Because Mayer, I think, is going full time. And I think their intentions, I think when they said five, there was no indication that Annette was retiring.
True.
So we're going to try to figure it out. But I imagine the four car operation is probably a little more comforting than a five car, not fully.
Unless he just jumps right in the cup, you know, surprise cup run, you know.
It's a little late, I feel like, but you know, he'll missed out on all the testing and whatnot. But
yeah. Well, he drove it himself, so you know. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Maybe he liked it so much. You know, we'll see.
Apparently, I'm listening to Sirius about that test they did. Right, they did Bowman Gray, right? Tony Stewart, Junior, and Clint Boyer, And apparently, Clint Boyer was telling everybody he ran the fastest lap time.
He was. And,
yeah, he did it.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
That's great.
Tony Stewart killing him.
Well, the comment I heard was that Clint didn't compare himself to Tony. He compared himself to Junior.
I believe that, man.
But I mean, Tony was the one that was only there for like legitimate reasons. Like Tony was the one supposed to be driving the car to select the tire for the clash at the Coliseum, which we'll talk about here before the end of the night. But yeah, so he was the only one that really mattered. The rest of them was just for S&Gs, just so they could talk about it on TV to you folks next year when you listen in. That yeah, I drove the car. It does this and this at a short track.
That's great. Thank God it's back. Thank God Fox Broadcast is back, because I can't stand the NBC broadcast. It drives me nuts.
Who are they putting in place of Jeff?
I think they're just going to go with the Mike and Clint show.
That means Clint's going to have to talk more.
It seems like a problem for him. So
I was going to say, I'll do just fine. I don't know if it'll be useful information, but
that's what I was just going to say. I don't know how great it will be if he talks more. His current level of talking is good. I don't know if it needs to be more.
Remember, it was just Daryl Waltrip and Mike Joy, right? And then they brought Jeff in. And then as they phase him out, they always bring someone in at the end. So
yeah,
we'll see who the next person will be. I'll tell you who it's not going to be. Truex. You know, Truex ain't going to be up there.
Yeah, and it isn't going to be Kurt, because he's obviously going to be in the 23XI car. So
Slowly does a good job.
Could be Newman.
He's racing, though.
Oh, that's true. He's still racing. Yeah, Newman.
I think he's going to quit here another year.
Who? Joey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I think the complaining at Talladega was just the tip of the iceberg earlier this year. Looking for an excuse. He's got third baby on the way.
He's gonna get out.
I don't know. I think he's got demons in his head, you know?
Interesting.
Got them bad thoughts.
Yeah. I think he's damaged goods, right? damaged goods. You can't.
Well, you can never tell. He's always smiling, so it's hard to tell.
True. It's true. He'll do fine. Yeah. He'll do fine on TV. You know, he'll be all right. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he's got good insight. He's good on there.
Yeah, it's true.
I think he has good insight. Yeah, I think his personality could be a little better, but.
It's Connecticut, you know.
Yeah, too nice. You know, it's practically Canada.
I don't know who they are. They got a identity crisis. Are they root for Boston sports? They root for New York sports. You know,
you're caught in the middle. Yeah, yeah. But they're too nice to be either or.
True.
Yeah. You know, can't be full angry like they just. They live in somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
And there's only two highways in Connecticut. There's only 84 and 95. And if you want to go anywhere else in the state, you're driving on these tiny back roads that they used to drive horse and buggies on. That's terrifying.
Yep. And 84 is always under construction.
100%. Or it's they shut it down. It's too snowy. Right. So.
In Hartford, if you're trying to drive through Hartford, forget it. Forget it.
Construction.
Yep. It's been construction since 2001. So just get used to it.
Oh my gosh. So Adam, you touched on the clash to Coliseum. So today NASCAR released the schedule for how do you race yourself into that clash, and I am excited about this. It's a darn good thing they're doing it this way. They're not just you can't just set 40 cup cars out on a track the size of a shoe because there's no room for them. So we're getting heat races and last chance qualifiers in NASCAR racing. It's cool.
So everybody gets a qualifying lap. The top four qualifiers will be the number one starter in each heat race, and then it'll kind of trickle down from there, you know, based on your qualifying time. And then you will get two last chance qualifier races. And then, there's no B main.
There should be a B main. Like
there's last anywhere. Chance qualifier, and then there's so I think it's 21 cars. Is it 21 cars? 23
that I saw. So we're taking the top four from the heats,
Right.
So that's 12. And then they were taking, I think they're taking six. Well.
They're taking six from both last chance qualifier races. Where are they getting the other two from? I can't remember where they're getting the other two from, but the last one is a points provisional based on the highest points driver who hasn't already qualified from, well, this season. The highest points driver from 2021 who didn't qualify during all the other stuff.
Yeah, so something like 23 or 24 cars. Yeah, something around that for the big show. So
how big is that track going to be, mile-wise?
I don't know. They've been putting stuff out today because they had Larson there doing the media tour in L.A. But didn't have anything out on, like, while he was in the stadium and stuff of, like, what the track layout is going to be. But it ain't big, dude.
That's going to be a lot of metal in that little tiny circuit. So.
It can't be any bigger than that Bowman Gray Stadium track. It can't be.
No.
Because that's a football field as well.
And I'm trying to picture it, right? They did when they did a football game at Bristol a couple years back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was all on the infield.
And that was only on the infield, right? So think of that. So.
Right. So it's smaller than Bristol. It's not going to be a half mile. There's no way. I'm guessing it's like a third to maybe a little more. Maybe. Yeah. It's probably a third mile track, which is as big as Grandview. Grandview's a third.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be metal everywhere.
With no banking. It's flat.
Yeah, no banking. Flat. Yep.
So. I mean, they're like not going to be going that fast.
Yeah, it's like a miniature Martinsville. Right?
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Mini paperclip.
Yeah, made paperclip. Yep. Just that's gonna be running cool. Right.
The radio stations are already like, get your tickets now for the Clash. And like the next one, it's like Daytona. I'm like, oh my God. We're back at it.
I would love to go to the Clash. Oh my gosh. So the Clash race is February 6th, 8 p.m. It's a Sunday night. I think it's a Sunday night.
Wait, yeah, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. L.A. time?
No, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, God. I was going to say, I'm like, man, I ain't going to be up that late. That's crazy.
Can't make
it'll be on Fox, so, you know, you'll be good to go there. And that's a week before, week before Daytona, I believe.
Could be.
So yep, from right now, you're looking, it's 88 days
until
the Clash. You got 88 days.
NASCAR advent calendar.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be wonderful.
That's a great idea. Sounds like a business opportunity.
Perfect. Here we go.
And then that'll kick everything off for the season. Then everyone's heading will have, no, I think it's 2 weeks before Daytona. Because then everyone will head to Daytona. You've got the dual races will be after that, dual one and dual two, and then you'll get the truck Xfinity and cup race the following weekend.
It's gonna be such a weird world, guys, with these new cars. I'm telling you, everything we've learned is out the window. So.
It is. It'll be exciting to see them in the duels, because that'll really be the first on-track competitive racing that we see those guys do. And winning at the duels is a big deal. I mean, that's I think you win the duels and you automatically entered in the All-Star race.
Yes. Is
that how that works?
Yep.
Something to that effect? I could be misspeaking.
No. I'm thinking about selling my automotive suspension textbook from college. I bet they're going for a lot of money so they can learn, read up on independent rear suspension and stuff. So
yeah, they got to learn about that.
I saw a social media post from Team Penske, and they were looking for quite a bit of people to fill out their operations as the team transitions to a new vehicle. They're looking for composite body technicians and all kinds of stuff. So
got to know how to use that Bondo.
I think some people are, you know, done early, forced to retire, or just don't have the desire to even transition. So
That's wild.
We're not a Corvette plant. They're going to the Corvette plant, so recruiting those boys. You know?
Yep.
Bowling Green, Kentucky. Let's go.
Yep. Yep.
Maybe the sinkhole is swallowing up again, but, you know.
But big day in Phoenix. I mean, on Sunday, they total sellout. Yeah. And so, like, viewer-wise, like, TV rating-wise, things were up year over year for the championship race. There's, like, 200 extra thousand TV viewers than there was. And, you know, that might be pandemic-related. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's good.
No, Larson winning.
Yeah, Larson winning and you know, his opportunity he had at the end of the thing there. Other news I saw was that Speedway Motorsports acquired Dover.
Yeah. Big money, too. Big money.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad Keselowski had his first day at Ralph Fenway today.
I'm sorry, real quick for that track. So they also bought, so now the same owners are all in Bristol, now own both tracks in Nashville.
Both tracks? Oh, okay.
Because Dover had the Nashville Speedway, and then the fairground was getting, being managed by the Bristol team. So
Speedway, yeah. That's
probably what they were after, to be honest. But yeah, that's huge. Yeah. That's big. Does it come? There's a casino in that deal too?
Also, trying to find out. Dover Motorsports, though, is a publicly traded company, so
they were. They bought the shares out. I was reading. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to read into that to see if the casino is part of the deal or not. But that's what I was going to ask you guys. So 2022, I was looking at the 2022 schedule a little bit, and I know we all talked about going to Charlotte, and I still want to do that. I want to go to the Coke 600. I think that'll be great. I was going to ask you guys if you were interested in going to Dover.
I like Dover.
Which is Sunday, May 1st.
Nothing going on around that time. It sounds good to me.
I mean, we don't have to make our decisions now, but that's a close place to hear. You can run down to Dover in 2 hours, basically. Get down there a little under from my house. So
Dover's a cool track. I like Dover.
Sounds like a good excuse to make a trek to the Adam household. And sleep on your couch.
Saturday, we could hit the Grandview Speedway.
Oh, yeah.
Saddle up and hit the road on Sunday morning. You know?
This is working out. I'm figuring this is good. Working stuff out right here.
Yep. But I'll be honest with you, the Coke 600, and I have genuine interest to hit the championship race. I really do. At the end of the year. I feel like that's where things are happening. That's where, aside from the 500, you know, it's the end all be all. You know, it's where things are going to go down. And I've seen some things over the last year and a half of the infield remodel that they've done there. Very Talladega like, where you can get in the garage and they have all that fan experience stuff for cheap. So
if Truex wins a race, we're in. I'll go.
Truex wins a race.
Listen to this guy.
I can't win a championship. So
Fairweather fan. Fairweather fan.
You've turned into a Fairweather fan.
Oh, have I, guys? Have I? Really person, Fairweather pick and all this? Okay. I understand.
No, I'm just playing. Just playing.
It's amazing.
I think it would be a good time. I've never been to, like, even in sports. I mean, I've been to, like, playoff hockey games and playoff basketball games. But I've not been to, like, a championship game. I lie. I lie. I lie. I lie. I lie. I was at the 97 Flyers Red Wings series in Philly, games 3 and 4. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was 9 years old, and I sat by myself. I was 16 rows off the ice in the corner, and my dad was about 7 rows in front of me in a different set, like the next section over. And there we were.
Oh my.
It's 9.
That's amazing.
All right, Adam, just hang tight. I'll come up and see you.
Well, Flyers got swept in 4 games, though. Spanked. That was the dream team of the Red Wings back in the late 90s. That's when they had all the Russians, and they were just killer.
That's why those banners are up at the jail, man. That's why. Yep. They were
impressive. That's when they, I think that's when they got in the car accident with the cup.
Yeah,
I think that was that whole deal. Yeah, when the limo and stuff. Yeah,
Detroit, baby.
It's a little too much fun. A little too much fun.
Oh my god!
Speaking of, the Labatts are Labatska. It's hockey season now,
baby.
I actually put on the Devils game. I had it on the Sirius XM there when I was working on the house tonight. So first time in a while. I don't know any of the players anymore, so they're all foreign to me. I have no idea.
You know,
Scotty Gomez and Patrick Elias ain't running around there anymore, so I don't know.
Well, it's about, you don't have to watch hockey for about 7 months.
Yeah, no, they don't play yet. Yeah,
no, not yet. Not till April. Not till April and May does it start to get real good.
Adam, I was thinking of you this morning. I was watching something where they put a bunch of hockey players out on that Red Bull ice skate challenge. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it, but I've not seen it yet.
Okay,
you gotta watch Red Bull Crash Dice.
Describe it. It's like a luge course where they skate down it, right?
Yeah,
players out there, and they were eating it left and right. They couldn't do anything. They're like, I've been skating the whole life. I never went down a hill before.
Yeah. I'm only used to ice that is flat.
Were they throwing elbows?
Climbing down. Like, at one point, there's a jump. They're climbing down it. I'm like, oh, my God, look like pansies out there. This is the craziest thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I always thought that the guys
pads,
that did that.
The full pads, he set himself off the jumps and stuff. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I always thought the guys that did that sport, Red Bull Crash Dice, were crazy. And then, you know, you confirm it when you put guys out there that know what they're doing on ice skates, and they're like, I can't do this. Absolutely not.
Half of them are definitely loaded, though. I mean, they gotta be. They gotta be loaded on alcohol. I mean,
listen, they're sit there, right? They're complaining, like, I'm soaking wet. This thing's not even frozen. I'm all wet.
It was a sunny day, and it was getting above freezing, so they were getting pretty nasty. Yeah, it's a good, you know, that's a good video to look up.
Okay, so where do you stand on the house projects? You gonna get her done this week?
I have to. I have no other option.
Sponge baths.
No, we're showering. Even if I'm pouring water right in that basement, we're showering. But no, we're good. Sheetrock's about sanded one more time tomorrow. I got the primer, I got the paint, I got tile. The only thing I need to buy is mortar and grout. But Brent, thank you, buddy. You've been the lifesaver through all this, so I appreciate you.
That's what I'm here for.
And tonight I put in a shower nook.
Ooh.
That was a last minute addition to the contract. It wasn't in the contract, so we still got to negotiate the price of that with the owner. But
Yeah,
it's coming along. It'll be good. Everything's here, and I'm just thinking what else I got to do.
What day are you planning to take a shower on it? Shower in it.
When?
Yeah, what day?
It'll be done by Friday night, hopefully. So
you think so? You're gonna have to. You're gonna seal the tile. Did you seal yours, Brent?
Yeah.
Brent's got the seal that we're gonna share for the next 30 years.
My wife bought the 2-quart size container, which is enough to steal. So it would be enough to seal all the showers in our whole neighborhood.
And I was telling Rachel, I'm like, we're gonna be on a great schedule because Brent will actually remember to reseal it, so he'll remind me. And then
that's actually not true. I'm actually not sure how often you're supposed to reseal that, but
Brent, I don't believe that for 1 second. It's a maintenance item, buddy.
It's a maintenance item.
Yeah, I know it doesn't last forever. In a shower, it probably doesn't last quite as long as like a backsplash in a kitchen or something like that. But
Yeah, and it varies. I mean, my wife picked this marble out for the shower down here, so it's a very soft, porous, natural stone. That's a little different than a porcelain tile that's not porous, and all you're sealing is the grout on that application. So on this, it's, you know, you're sealing the stone, so it's not all the same, I think.
Yeah, we're in the same boat.
How big are your tiles, Matt?
So the floors are 12 by 24.
Oh, perfect.
And the showers are 8 by 20.
Big bitches. Oh, hell yeah. That's perfect.
So they're going. Exactly. They're gonna
be every time you put one up, you're going to see real progress.
I am going to be.
Instead of like subway tiles, or
yeah,
they're nice looking, right? But like they just take forever to fucking hang.
But so it's actually going to work out pretty well. So this shower nook I got, I'm going to be able to put a floor tile. It's the same marble on the floor as in the shower. I'm going to be able to put a floor tile as the backing part of that, where like the mosaic would normally go.
One piece.
One piece, buddy.
Bam, that's the way to go. Yeah, I did the mosaics in ours and I hated it. It was brutal.
It was classy. And the tile she bought has a lot of natural grain and different colors and stuff. So we'll find a real, real cool looking one and slick that bastard in there. So.
What about like the edges of that box when they've got two pieces of tile that butt up and make a
we're gonna be doing some cutting, some polishing to make that work.
I had to do that. I had to cut because the tile saw will leave like a little bit of a rough edge on the tile. So I had to I was down here with like some like 400 and 600 grit wet sandpaper in here and this bad boy shining up the edges, tiles, so that they're. But yeah,
so when we did our window area for our backsplash, we bought edge pieces, not edge tile, but like it was from that Schluter Systems company.
I saw them today.
It's like it's like built-in edging. It's white. I think you can get it in multiple different colors, but white's probably the primary. You can buy it in long sections and you just cut it apart. And they make edge connectors too for like different corner. Like there's like T with 45s, you know, and they make all different kinds of connectors depending on how you want to put it. But it gives you a edge to put a tile up against, and then, you know, another edge going back into the box or whatever you.
I saw that tonight, and I was shocked that Lowe's actually had that thing in stock. So
that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, I think the two corner pieces that we had to buy, they had the straights, but we had to special order the corner tees.
Yeah, the transitions.
Yeah, they didn't have. I mean, they had transitions, but just not the ones that we needed. Mm-hmm.
Locally, yeah, dude, we're cranking along. Only plumbing I gotta do. We gotta get that drain. I gotta get that drain to seal up there, Brent. I know we were fighting that. So,
yeah, that thing was being. I don't know. Part of me wonders is something wrong with the housing itself. That's. I didn't have to wrestle with mine that much. I don't know what's up with it.
I think the worst thing. I think I may have to cut that that angled piece going towards the outside wall. Uh-huh. Right, that rubber coupling in there to give us a little more room and get a better shot at it. But
that would definitely help.
Yeah, we're not exactly square. Brent and I were getting ripped on the PVC glue. So
yes, we were.
Yeah, you know. Imagine so.
Yeah, that stuff is. Matt and I were talking about this. Like I've messed with like methylethyl ketone and all kinds of thinners and stuff, but PVC pipe glue is next level. Just. How is it even legal to create this stuff? It is something else.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow.
But that'll be good. And then the last piece of plumbing I got to do is put the shower flange on. I'm sorry, the toilet flange, which is not a really big deal, but
yeah,
gotta do that.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. The shit. What was I gonna say?
I gotta put a door on it too. I forgot. I gotta do a door.
Yeah, you know.
Shit, this bagel job looks A1, buddy. Looks dude, good. It, way better than me.
Shit sucks, buddy.
I know.
It's very time consuming.
Really sucks.
Did you sand it yet? Did you sand it once yet?
I've sanded it like 14 times.
Dude. Okay. All right. So she's going to be smooth as a baby's ass.
In welding, right? In welding, there's welders and grinders, right? Cool. I'm more on the grinding scale. And in this, I'm not a spackler. I'm a sander. So.
Yeah, the guys that are good.
You're using way more than you need.
Yeah, yeah. The guys that are good, they only use the sandpaper for texture. You get the shape just right with the blade.
Oh, that's witchcraft, dude.
It's all they do is make it smooth real quick with the sand. They're not shaping it.
I did figure it out in the ceiling.
Yes.
I figured it out in the ceiling. So, but dude, I came home. I had the stuff in my head. I had all of my safety glasses, you know.
Yeah. That stuff gets everywhere. Yeah.
It's a good mess, man.
We'll be good. I'm feeling good.
What kind of vacuum have you been using to clean it up with? Shop vac?
Yes.
Okay. Don't use your regular one because you're just going to end up throwing that sucker in the trash.
I don't like down here, so I may take that over there tomorrow.
There you go. Yep.
Thanks.
But,
the only thing we didn't touch on is Ben Rhodes and the trucks.
Oh, Dirty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Boring race. It's a boring race, you know? Just a real boring race that was, honestly.
Which is weird for trucks.
Yeah. They had the long run at the end there.
I just loved how liquored up he was.
It was the best. He spiced it up with the liquor at the end, and he just couldn't talk. Couldn't talk right. Yeah, he was all over the place.
Doing interviews, you know.
Yep.
Quirby's turning the screws to him, name your sponsors, you know, through the whole thing just to see if he's in it still. So.
Yep. Yep.
Hey, we love to fight today, and I think we keep this going. You know, maybe not every week as a podcast, but if something breaks, we talk about it, and maybe we do a couple of history ones in there. I think that'll be cool.
Oh yeah, it will be.
I think we'll find ways to. I mean, I'm still interested in keeping it going, but finding ways to evolve, whatever that means. I think that'll probably take shape over the next couple months, and what we all come to agreement with. Should be fun. I think it's been a wild ride for me over the last it's probably been like 30 some weeks.
Yeah.
I think we've been hitting this, which is a lot, and it's kind of nice that it is kind of coming to an end. We are pretty close to hitting some cool numbers. As a total podcast, so I think I'll try to push this one. I've been stashing some Facebook ad credits since we created that page, and I think there's like $15 or $20 in there that they've given us that we could use for ads. And I think what I'm gonna do is I am gonna do a little experiment once this episode comes out and give the $20 back in ad expense and see what happens. Based on their prediction, if you basically run that ad for 4 weeks at $20 in total cost, so it's $5 a week, it should see you new traffic to the page at about 2,500 unique users a week. That's what it says.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. So we'll experiment with that. And we'll see if that pushes any traffic to podcasts, because that's the interesting numbers. The social media pages get really good traffic, but it doesn't show through on the podcast numbers.
Interesting. So
if for somehow you found yourself to listening to this podcast and you know of people who are looking at us on social media, do us a favor, convert that over to a podcast listener, because that is the whole point of all of this.
Welcome to Left is Right, friends, banter, racing, and social experiments.
Yeah.
And once again, listeners, thank you. We love doing this, right? Even if we're just BSing, right? You know, we love it.
You love that.
We want to do it if we didn't get enjoyment out of it. And thank you for coming along this journey with us. And stick around. Next year we're gonna be insane. So
we'll do some fun stuff. We have some ideas I think already we've discussed. So we'll see. See what comes out. But I think it's time to relax a little bit, take a little break. Matt needs to finish his house. Brent needs to fix his motorcycles.
Don't worry. I'll find another one. I'll find another, you know, poor life decision to make with two wheels. No, don't you worry.
Fans, thank you. And a personal thank you to Adam. You kill it, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Keep it up.
Yeah. Not a problem. It's been a fun ride so far. And we'll definitely keep it going. So why don't you send it out the old-fashioned way, Matt?
Ladies and gents, till February, let's try to keep our shiny side up and our rubber side down. Everybody enjoy the little break. Enjoy time with your family for the holidays. And we'll be talking at you here throughout the holiday break and all this with crazy history stuff that I'm a nerd about. And maybe we'll do some driver profiles. Maybe we'll do some other stuff. But we appreciate everything. And thanks for listening.
Later on, we'll see you next year.
See you guys.